For many, the words Cape Cod artist brings to mind the plein air painters and the sweeping land and seascapes Cape Cod is known for. Yet there are many Cape Cod artists depicting the indoors. Their work includes models, figures, and all the stuff that surrounds us when we walk within four walls. Deborah Foreman has been interviewing Cape Cod artists for decades, previously during her career at the Cape Cod Times. Now she's writing books about artists and Cape Cod art history. Her latest book, Contemporary Cape Cod Artists, People and Places, profiles 45 such artists, and she joins us to talk about the artists and their work. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming. I'm looking at the book. I'm struck by the sheer number of incredibly talented and well-regarded artists working on the Cape. You profiled 45 artists for this book and probably around the same number for your previous book. Correct me if I'm wrong. And as you write in the introduction, there are many, many more you had to leave out.
Absolutely. And as I also say in the book, this is just like the tip of the iceberg. And it's a big challenge to, you know, select the, you know, 45 artists that to be included in the book. And as I also say, it is subjective. It's like curating an exhibition. You pick artists that you connect with, as well as what you feel their talents are and their reputations. That all comes into play. But truly, it is about art is so subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can review art. You see it a lot in theater where, you know, a play will premiere and one reviewer will say it's wonderful, another reviewer will say it's terrible. And in some ways, that's how we see that. And I say if somebody else had written this book, they would have picked other artists, or at least some other artists.
A fair number of younger artists in the book, it looked to me, just flipping through it. By younger, I mean maybe in their 40s. Is Provincetown and Cape Cod still a place you can build an art career, or is it a situation where artists are building their reputation maybe someplace else in bigger cities and then moving here?
Well, there are the older artists, and this book, by the way, covers from Falmouth or Sandwich, from the bridge to Provincetown. It's not just Provincetown artists.
Okay. Right.
And so there are artists from Harwich and Brewster and all over, and Falmouth and Sandwich. However, the larger number of artists are kind of collected in the Outer Cape, Wellfleet, Truro, and Provincetown. The older artists that have been coming to Provincetown for years are still there, and they have oftentimes New York reputations. They're in quite a few of the artists in this book are in major collections of major New York museums, and they're still coming. There are a lot of younger artists who, because of a lot of things going on in Provincetown and in the area, and because Cape Cod is such a magnet for artists because of the art colony, in 2010, the National Trust for Historic Preservation designated Provincetown home of the nation's oldest art colony. So there is this cachet about Provincetown. Also, they have the Fine Arts Work Center, which has been around for, I don't know, almost 50 years, which every year gives 20 fellowships, residencies to 10 artists and 10 writers. And those are usually young people who then sometimes they stay in Provincetown, sometimes mm-hmm. they leave and come back. I know a lot of the artists stayed there for a while. One of the problems with Provincetown and the Cape in general is the cost of real estate. And so young artists can't always live in that area. So
Right. They
may stay and they may come and go, that kind of thing.
Talk about the different themes in your two contemporary Cape Cod artist books. Of course, the first book was Images of Land and Sea, and that kind of speaks for itself. This one is People and Places. What do you mean by People and Places?
Well, the idea, after I finished the History of the Provincetown Art Colony, Perspectives on the Provincetown Art Colony.
Yeah, it was a two-volume book before these contemporary artists.
Right, it was published in 2011. My editor at Schiffer said, let's do something on contemporary Cape Cod artists. And I had, as you said, been covering the scene for a long time. And I realized that one book wouldn't do it. So we talked about it, and I said, why don't we do it based on genre? So the obvious first book was landscapes. The Cape is this gorgeous place, and it made sense to do it of land and sea. So there were actually 50 artists in that book. And then we decided my concept was to go inside, because I knew there were a lot of artists doing figures and portraits and still lifes and interiors. So we went inside, and that's the idea of people and places. The third book, which will be out next year, is again contemporary Cape Cod artists, which should conclude the series, is on artists working in abstraction.
Ah.
So one artist even mentioned to me when I was interviewing her, she said, well, you've gone inside and now you're going to go further inside to artists who are inspired by, not by the real world in many ways, but by abstract art, by, you know, various other considerations. So
what was perhaps the most difficult interview to get as you're trying to get to these different artists?
Well, I wouldn't say difficult, mm-hmm. because I don't think there was an artist that I approached that said no.
Oh.
Because, you know, I mean, it's very nice for them to be in a book. Amy Arbus, who's the first one in the book, in the Getting to Know You, is the daughter of Diane Arbus, a very well-known photographer, as is Amy. And Daniel Mailer is another name. She's the daughter of Norman Mailer. And I had never met her before, but I had interviewed Norman Mailer a number of times for various reasons when he was doing books or doing other things in Provincetown. And I have to say, none of these people said no.
Well, speaking of famous fathers and mothers, and Romolo Del Deo, that's another very
yes.
well-known Provincetown art name, Del
yes.
Deo.
And his father was in the first book, Land and Sea. And I don't know that I knew Romolo. I knew Sal Del Deo for many years, because I've been interviewing and he's been in Provincetown, I think, since 1946 or something. Since the 50s. I think he first came there to study with Henschy. Romolo grew up in Provincetown, and unlike his father, who was a painter, he became a sculptor. But I didn't know him first, but he may have known me through his father, but mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of, like, younger artists, as you say, Danielle, Amy Arbus, Romolo, who had famous fathers.
Within the book, you've grouped artists together under various themes: getting to know you, the home front, memory, and mystery. How did these themes, how did these themes emerge?
Well, I didn't think about, I mean, I picked the artists. When I was doing the book, I wasn't thinking about the themes. But I worked in a newspaper for many years and wrote a lot of headlines.
Right.
So I kind of, once I had them all together and I saw all their art, because they were sending me images, and I was oftentimes, I think there are about 8 images of each by each artist in the book, and I was making a selection. Sometimes they'd send me a dozen and they'd ask me to pick ones. So once I had all the stories done, I had done all the interviews, all the art, I then looked at it and saw that there were some themes running through the book. And, you know, the first one is getting to know you, and those are mostly portraits of various kinds.
I see.
And then the home front were more like interiors and, you know, home kind of still lives. And then there was something called, I think, still time, which was a lot of still life. And the moving figure was some of the sculpture in the book. So as I looked at it, it became obvious. Now, a lot of the artists could have been in several in two or three of the categories.
Sure.
The last one was Coloring Their Worlds with probably one of the oldest artists in the book, John Grillo.
Oh, he's one of your favorites, isn't
he? Yes, I've interviewed him forever, and he's like 90, maybe 96, 97. He's terrific. I mean, he's just so with it, and he still paints almost every day, and his art is so... There's such an optimism, and lots of it because of his color.
Well, it's so nice to see the work in the book. I think you said, what, about eight pictures from each artist. But there's also a write-up about each artist, and it's not just a straight profile. It seems like you're trying to drop in some history of the area, try to contextualize who this person is. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a journalist, I feel like beside their art, I want to get to them. I want to understand why they do what they do. Sometimes the personal life comes in because that takes. So I want to go beyond just an art magazine thing about how they do their art. Mm-hmm. I really want to capture a picture of the artist. And I've had some artists tell me, which is very gratifying. One artist told me, "You really understand me," based on what I wrote. Now, none of the artists see what I've written
before you print it.
Before it's printed.
Right.
So when it comes out, it's very nice that, you know, I've had some artists say things like, "You really understand me," or "You got me," or whatever. But I've been interviewing artists for years. So. Mm.
And you're an artist yourself.
Yes, I am.
What are some of the more memorable interviews that you encountered in there?
Interviewing Amy Arbus was very interesting because I knew her. I didn't know her mother, but I knew her mother's work, which is very dark. And I remember seeing an exhibition at the at MoMA, Museum of Modern Art in New York, probably back in the 70s of her art, which is very different than her daughter's art. And the some of the photographs in the book actually look like paintings. Daniel Mailer was fun because I knew her dad and we could, you know, talk about him. And so that was very interesting. Romolo was when I got to his house, he lives right near his dad. He made me espresso and cookies. Different artists did different things, which was kind of interesting. They were all interviews, and some were very professional, and some, you know, you connected like anybody else when you do an interview. Sometimes you really connect with the people. Blair Rezica, who's the wife of Paul Rezica, very well-known artist, who is in my first book, and he's also in the Provincetown book. Well, she's a photographer, and I interviewed her at their home in Truro, and Paul was there, and Paul is just lots of fun, and so I got to kind of talk to Paul, and I think I even included a couple of his quotes in the piece on Blair, and they were a kind of interesting couple.
I'm speaking with Deborah Foreman about her latest book, Contemporary Cape Cod Artists, People and Places, in which she profiles 45 artists. Let's talk about the fact that you probably first encountered many of these artists through their work, and then you're going to interview them. You don't really know their personalities or who they are. What's that experience like when you feel you know their work so well, but not them personally?
Right. And there were a lot of artists that I interviewed that I'd never met before. You know, if you're a good interviewer, you can make those connections. You know their art. First of all, you do your homework. You know as much as you can about them, and then you've seen their art. So you know what questions to ask. And even by looking at their art, you really kind of have an idea of how to connect with them. And sometimes it's very instinctual. There are no real rules about it, except do your homework. Don't walk in not knowing a thing about the artist. Know their art, know a little bit about them, even in some cases there isn't a lot about them that you can find or do research because some of them are, you know, relatively new artists. But do your homework. That's a rule. And then you know the questions to ask. And then the rest of it is just personality and how you connect.
Did you find any commonality in how spending time on the Cape, or whether that's outdoors in the beautiful natural environment that we have, or with other artists in the community of artists that we have here, how that has influenced their work?
Well, it's interesting because the artists, obviously the artists in the first book, were very influenced by the Cape and its beauty. The artists in the second book, it's pretty interesting that they're here for a lot of different reasons. They're here because they love the Cape, and they love, lots of them talked about the winter, it being quiet and a time that they could really work.
Oh.
Other people talked about the fact that there were so many other artists on the Cape that they could meet and talk to and exchange ideas, because artists feed on other artists' work. And so artists bring more artists. So that's part of it. And even some of them who didn't spend year-round on the Cape, who were here, you know, summer homes, and then they went to New York or spent, you know, somebody like, well, John Grillo lives here year-round, but other artists may be here for 6 months. Paul Rezek and his wife are here for maybe a long summer, and then they go to New York. So, but they're here because these particular artists who are not really painting the beauty of the Cape, they're here because they love it here. It's a great place to work. There was a show of Robert Motherwell, who had a long time association with Provincetown, lived there for many years, summer. And he apparently, according to there was a show last year of his work, he did most of his, you know, he was most of his work in Provincetown. He loved it there. So lots of reasons.
Yes, lots of reasons. It's a wonderful book. Cape Cod, Contemporary Cape Cod Artists, People and Places. And Deborah Foreman, of course, is the author of that book. Deborah is also giving presentations this week. The View from Cape Cod, an artist panel discussion, is Wednesday, and that's at the Preservation Hall in Wellfleet. And also a gallery talk at the Cape Cod Museum of Art September 4th at 2 o'clock. And we'll have more information and links at both those events at our website. Deborah, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Sean. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure. This is The Point. I'm Sean Corcoran. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.